Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Joining us today in our studio on the site, Sara Almosa, is U.S. Senator and Colorado gubernatorial candidate Michael Bennett. Welcome to the Valley Pod.
Thanks,
Senator.
It's great to be with you.
Really
Thanks
good to see
me.
You. And I know you're on the campaign trail this weekend, Easter weekend, for the race for governor. But I feel like I got to ask you first about the latest developments out of Washington and the Iran war. And I want to get your reaction to the ouster of General Randy George, the top Army general. I want to get your thoughts about what we're hearing today with U.S. fighter jet down in Iran and the frantic search and rescue mission for those individuals. I think one pilot got rescued, one they're still looking for. Want to get your thoughts there.
Obviously, start by sending our prayers to the folks that were shot down in Iran, and hopefully they both make it. The president keeps saying that we have the best military in the world, and I think that's actually true. And they'll do whatever mission it is they're called upon to do. But having said that, I think the president's decisions here have been reckless. They've been illegal, unconstitutional, and he fundamentally is pursuing this war in Iran without any plan at all. And to me, it's a little bit shocking because there are a lot of things I agree with Donald Trump on. But one of the things, you know, I thought he understood was that those two 20-year wars that we had in the Middle East taxed the American people's patience. That war in Afghanistan, I mean, lasted for 20 years. The war in Iraq lasted for 20 years. It's a shocking lack of congressional oversight, a shocking lack of general oversight. And I think the American people were incredibly fatigued by those wars. Yet, at the first possible moment, almost, you know, he now finds himself with basically an unplanned war of choice. And I hope it will all end well for America's sake, for the men and women of our armed forces, for the Middle East itself. But he's rolled some huge dice in doing this and taking a profound risk with our country's national security.
I want to, I got to be honest with you. When I was thinking about you coming in here today and spending some time with us here, I was wishing we were back in the old newspaper days, because I think I would have had a better handle on the governor's race, particularly the Democratic primary. Great candidates, yourself, A.G. Wiser. I feel like if we were in the old days of newspaper, they would have assigned reporters and I would have been able to keep up with this really interesting race, but I haven't. Yeah. And I honestly have not put it on my radar too much, so I'm glad you're here. So I'm going to ask you, just give us first the why,
sure,
particularly in context of what we just talked about and the serious business happening in Washington and you as a U.S. senator, and now you're campaigning for governor of Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, the why is just a moral obligation I feel for my own three daughters and for the kids that I used to work for in the Denver Public Schools and kids. I was their superintendent. I've had sort of an unusual career. And for kids all over rural Colorado whose parents want the same thing that the parents in Denver want for their kids but can't get it because our politics is as broken as it is. I think this is a profound inflection point in the country's history. And we're living in a gilded age just like we were 100 years ago. And I view Trump, you know, and Trumpism as more a symptom of our problems, you know, like Trump, I blame him for many, many, many things, but I think that he's a symptom of the economic inequality we have in this country, the lack of economic mobility, and Colorado is facing our own version of that challenge. You know, there's almost not a county left in this state. In fact, I would say there's not a county left in this state where anybody feels their kids are going to be able to afford to live there. And it's not just housing, it's housing, health care, child care. I mean, we're one of the most expensive states in the country. There's a lot of skepticism about whether our schools are preparing kids for the economy that they're going to inherit. So You know, I think it's critical for us to restore a sense of economic mobility, a sense of the American dream, because I think that's the only way ultimately we're going to save our democracy.
I'm glad you mentioned the economy, and because really what I'm looking for as I try to decide myself as a voter in Colorado, right. Vision. I think vision, when I think of what is the future of this state, to what you're saying, what is the future of economy of Colorado? Give us that and where you want to go.
And what's the future of our country? And I think Colorado can be a beacon for the nation. This is one of those moments, to answer your question directly as well, when I think the inventiveness and the imagination is going to come from the people themselves. It's going to come from local government and from state government. It's not going to come from D.C. right now, where you've got basically a Republican Senate that is essentially a cult of personality for President Trump, and a Democratic Senate, and I hate to say this, who don't even understand that the Democratic Party was repudiated in the last election and why it was repudiated. I think I know why it was repudiated. And so I felt that none of us is going to live forever, that the place I can make the biggest difference would be in Colorado, setting an example for the rest of the country here. And the vision for the future is one where, you know, you can work hard and actually live a middle class life. And I am doing meetings all over the state that are not political meetings. I've done two in the last 2 days. I'm doing another one at Adams State tomorrow with the next generation of Coloradans who hate politics, hate politicians, hate the political parties, don't really care whether you voted for Trump or voted against Trump, because what my generation has left them so far is an economy where there's no room for them, a state where they feel like the state of Colorado, where there may not be any room for them. And on top of all of that, the chaos and division of Donald Trump. And when you sit with these young people, they'll say things to you like, I don't know, we don't even know if we'll ever have a kid, or we had one kid, but we're never going to have another kid because child care costs us $40,000 a year, or the cost of housing is costing us 40%, 50%, 60% a year. And so I think we need to get to a place where working people don't have to spend more than 30% of their income on housing, where we have a true public option for health care so people don't have to pay private insurance for the lousy health care that they're getting, that we have an education system that's preparing people. We're focused on mental health as well as that. So I don't think we need to give up to the conditions that we have, but I don't think this is a moment for coloring inside the lines. We're going to have to make some big decisions. As
you know, I have a daughter that's at the University of Oregon, 20 years old. I have to agree with you that this generation wonders about what their future is. But I also have a lot more faith in today's young people and my daughter's generation than I do in my generation, than I do in older people. We talk about social media, and I'm like, let's regulate old people off social media, and because that's really where we're having problems. I want to ask you, though, is government, because this is where I wonder, can government solve the big problems we have, the big challenges we have, Colorado, the country, we have a warming climate, we know we're facing with global warming, we can see the climate change in Colorado every day. Xcel Energy is threatening to close the power off because the wind fires, wildfires,
no snow,
education.
No snow,
I mean, we have big problems.
Water, yeah.
But I wonder if government can actually solve them today.
Well, I think we're living in one of those moments where that's a really fair question. You know, we're coming, this is the end of a 50-year period that basically got kicked off by the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. of a bunch of trickle-down economics and Gilded Age economics, where the wealthiest people in our society have captured the lion's share of all the gains, and the income inequality is worse, the wealth inequality is much worse. At the same time, I think if we're honest about this, there's a lot about the government that hasn't worked that well either, you know, about the safety net. It has not acted to propel people forward from their economic circumstances. So I think that we're in a moment where you're right to ask that question, and I think we need to invent our future. And I think we need to engage the young people in this state and the young people in this country in doing that as well. I'm with you. My daughters are 26, 25, and 21. They were 9, 7, and 4 when I started this job. I can remember, you know, throwing them in the back of the minivan and driving them all over Colorado as the greatest. They thought we were on vacation, and I was working. They thought we were on vacation. But now they're that age, and they feel the same way your daughter feels. They feel the same way the young people that I'm in all these meetings. But these kids are all filled with genius. They're all filled with imagination. And I still believe in democracy. I still believe in our exercise in self-government more than government itself. You asked, will government solve it? From my question is, can an exercise in self-government still solve these challenges? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes.
You know, when I think of Colorado and you read about the challenges Colorado has with its revenue, with its budget, right. Can it fund more prison beds? Can it fund Medicaid costs? Can it fund K-12 education? And you have all these issues. What for you, as a candidate for governor, what rises as the top? What rises as the top issues for you? Because there's so many that you want to address.
Well,
but you
from a budget perspective, I would say, as a former school superintendent, I've lived the education nightmare that is the result of Tabor and the fact that our teachers and kids are living their lives with one hand tied behind their back because of a 40-year-old political settlement of the taxpayer Bill of Rights, and we're going to have to find a way to address that. But I would say a related challenge is our healthcare challenge, is our Medicaid challenge. You know, the projected increases for Medicaid annually for the next 10 years are 9% a year every year for 10 years. That will bankrupt the state government. That will bankrupt our county governments, and we're going to have to get a hold of that as well, I think, to focus more on preventative care and on, you know, and on giving people the chance to have access to primary care rather than being focused on chronic care and hospital care, which is so expensive. But, you know, these challenges have been with us for a long time. We haven't managed them well for a long time. We are going to have to reform Tabor and the other constitutional constraints that we're facing as well, I think.
I know we're gonna have to let you go here in a bit. I want to get to a couple more things before we let you go. Well, we got 10 weeks or so till you get to the June 30th primary, right? What's the campaign strategy for you over the next couple of months? How do you just get across the finish line?
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, you know, in the job that I've been now, I've spent my life in every single corner of the state, over and over and over again, working with the producers in this valley, for example, on the challenges they're facing, from water to tariffs to opening up markets for potatoes in Mexico. I mean, we've been together working on these things for a long time, and it's been true all across Colorado. But there are a lot of people who wonder, why are you know, making the change from the Senate to the governor's job? And I think, you know, the answer I gave is an honest answer. You asked about the difference between me and my primary opponent, and I would say, for me, this really is not about the two of us. It's about the families in Colorado, and I think we need somebody in this job who's actually run complicated things, done really complicated budgeting, somebody who understands our K-12 education system and has worked at the national level for 16 years. That's long enough to know that the permanent game of shirts and skins is not going to work. It's not going to solve our problems. Colorado can be a model for how we use this exercise in self-government to solve hard problems, not easy problems.
One last question before we let you go. The president's working overtime, it seems, to interfere, have the federal government interfere with the midterm elections here in 2026. What are your thoughts about how voters should see the maneuvers?
That's such a great way of asking the question. So, and I said this on the floor the other day of the Senate, you know, Trump's latest attempt to basically nationalize our elections, first by passing that terrible bill, but the Save America Act, he calls it, but also trying to create a national registry of voters and to get rid of our mail-in ballots. And what I said on the floor was, you try to come to Colorado. We have the we have the gold standard here in Colorado of how you conduct elections. You try to come to the western slope of Colorado, to red rural Colorado, and try to take away people's mail-in ballots. They'll never let you do it. This is an assault, not by Trump, just on Democratic voters. It's an assault on unaffiliated voters. It's an assault on Republican voters. And I think that's how they're going to see it. And just like I think people are getting, you know, beginning to understand how deeply contrary to our values it is to have federal law enforcement agents wearing masks in our communities, how deeply contrary to our values and principles it is to have somebody, not law enforcement, knocking on doors or pounding down doors without warrants, how deeply un-American it is to separate children from their parents in, you know, notwithstanding their immigration status, that I think the American people have had enough of this guy. But now the important question is, we can spend all our time obsessed with this guy, or we can start thinking about what our vision for the future is going to be, how we're going to build a just society, not just here in Colorado, but in this nation, and how we're going to leave something to our children and to our grandchildren that we're proud of. And also, along the way to doing that, to restore America's place in the world. That's a lot of stuff that is left for us to do. But to your point earlier, it'd be a lot easier if we still had journalism in this country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do our best here at Alamosicism. We really appreciate you coming in and seeing us today.
Thanks for letting me come back.
Yeah, we want to wish you all the best as you travel across Colorado. We've been listening to the Valley Pod in our episode with U.S. Senator Michael Bennett. He's on the Colorado governor campaign trail. We do want to note the Denver Post has a live debate scheduled for May 7th at 6 o'clock between Senator Bennett, Attorney General Phil Weiser. That's a good opportunity to hear from both of them. The primary election in Colorado is June 30th. Make a plan to vote. As always, the Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods. See you around the Valley.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit alamosacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On The Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.